At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Wednesday evening edition of the Boneyard, didn't start out this way, but we had to call an audible. We had let an event slip up on us, the Shades of Starkville event on campus, and so Dana had to take the True Rest show to campus. I had to go run a spa for a while. And ran into our friend Ken Parent, who listens to the show, and Ken floated. I'm sure he'll give you guys a great review. Ken, it was nice to meet you. Thanks for being so supportive. Tells me he's got all my books. How great is that? Yeah, thanks, Ken. And again, hope that your granddaughters love it here in Starkville. Ken is a guy from Vero Beach, Florida, that made his way to Starkville, Mississippi, and now knows that, hey, this is God's country. So, nevertheless, get back and had an interview. Tentatively set for 2 o'clock. That ended up happening around 4. And it happens. You know, it's not anybody's fault, you know. But I interviewed David Case today, who is your football equipment manager. And, they had to pack up get the truck on the road today. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a long drive out there, and you got a lot of gear to bring. You can read that interview over at jeanspage.com. You got to be a VIP member. And, yeah, that's the kind of exclusive content that we bring from time to time. You know, we kind of think outside the box. It's the big room stuff we make free. But, like, if we get something nobody else has, we're going to make that VIP to add some value to the membership. And I try to do something like that weekly, you know, to have some big conversation with somebody that maybe doesn't get interviewed a lot or, you know, something that's relevant. And so it's worth your time and effort to come be a jeanspage.com subscriber, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. I'll go ahead and let you guys in on a little bit of a secret. You know, of course, it's been announced that Ludacris is going to be headlining Bulldog Bash. So our top 10 list today is Ludacris. And it was a lot of fun, but it was also very challenging to put this list together. I'm a Luda fan. I love it, man. I love the work that he's done with the Fast and the Furious series and love the music stuff. I mean, and the fact that he's coming to Starkville, this is a great get for the folks that put together Bulldog Bash. And this may end up being a multi-generational show. You know, we've had some artists in the past, and you're like, huh, who's that? You know, getting Hardy was huge, but you kind of expect that, you know, because Hardy's a Bulldog. You know, I'm sure at some point in his musical career, he dreamed of playing Bulldog Bash. Not that it wasn't a big deal, it was. But to get Ludacris, I think even Hardy would say, yeah, that's a good get right there. And we've listened to Ludacris much of our lives, you know. And so top 10 list today is Ludacris. Not Ludacris in its quality, but Ludacris and the artist himself. And a lot of Arizona State talk today. I have one of the things that's cool about Arizona State is that Kenny Dillingham, okay, today's Wednesday. He had his normal Monday press conference, and then he met briefly with the media after practice on Tuesday, after practice on Wednesday. I don't know what he'll do tomorrow. If he does, we'll recap that too. And I basically transcribed everything that they have said about Mississippi State over the course of the last few days. Dillingham's information on Monday. Of course, he had players a little bit later. And then Coach Dillingham, players yesterday, and then coordinators today. And so if you want to know what Arizona State is thinking about Mississippi State, you go over to jeanspage.com. You can find those articles for free. That's right, free. We'll get into some of that. I've got some opinions about what they've had to say, kind of what I kind of interpret to be their mindset in relation to that of Mississippi State. And at the end of the day, that means absolutely nothing. But I think, let me just say, I believe out of the mouth comes what's in the heart. I believe that, whether it be football or relationships or friendships or employment relationships, all of that stuff, I think, given the opportunity, what people say is really who they are and what they mean. And now, there are people out there that are absolute liars, you know what I'm saying? But I think in situations such as this, you know, if you listen long enough, people will tell you who they are. Right? Can we agree on that? I think we do. So we'll talk about some of that stuff today. We're going to break down Arizona State. I have watched that game against Wyoming a couple times now, and a few things that I picked up on. It's going to be a lot different than what we see most weeks. A little different, a lot of respects. But there are some concepts that are somewhat similar to some of the things that Jeff Levy has run before. I really have a lot of faith in Jeff Levy. I really, truly do. And I tell you guys, I had just kind of an ex parte conversation with Coach Levy last week, walking to the car. And I saw him and some of the staff out kind of getting their steps in. You know, he had on the long sleeve shirt, and it's about 100 degrees outside. I said, "Coach, you get those steps in." So we had a chance to talk for just a couple minutes, real briefly. And I made mention. I said, "Hey, you know, I'm trying to convince our folks that we're going to go better than 0-12, but maybe we're not going to contend for the Sugar Bowl." And he looked at me and he grinned and he said, "Steve, we're going to be just fine." I believe it. And it's good to know that our head coach believes that too. I would expect nothing else, but there wasn't a microphone in his face. There wasn't a camera out there. This is just a couple guys talking, you know. And I love the fact that Levy is so confident. And I go back to something that he said, something that I was told during the coaching search. Jeff Levy made mention more than once, "I don't think this is a rebuilding year. We're going in to win in year one." That would be my attitude too. And I think he's done some good things. And again, it's just 1 week, okay? It's just 1 week. But I think that there is some optimism within the fan base. And I think if we go out there and win at Arizona State, which is not going to be easy, it's going to be an absolute war. I'm just telling you, right out of the gate, it's going to be an absolute war. And both teams, as good as they played last week, are going to have to play better this week in order to get a win. And the team that doesn't do that is going to be 1-1. The team that does is going to be 2-0 and thinking, you know what, hey, we got a good chance to go bowling. True. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I loved them before they loved me, and we both love you. And I want good things to happen for you in your life. And I think one of the things you got to do is add Bulldog Burger Company to your regular rotation of dining establishments. They've got everything you need right there. Kids want to go out and get some chicken tenders? You can do that. Kids want a hamburger? Most kids do. With some fries, some ketchup? You can do that too. And maybe you're like, "Hey, I want to give them what they want, but you know what? I'm trying to eat a little cleaner these days." Get that BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. You know, I'm trying to watch my shape a little bit. You know, I'm getting older. Got to eat better. A lot of people have pointed out, "Hey, Steve, you know, look, you've lost a lot of weight." Really haven't. Just kind of leaned up a little bit. But still, you know, trying to find some improvement. And so there's some BLT salads in my future. But I want you guys to have a great dining experience when you go out. And that's why I highly recommend Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive here in Start Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that, and get that chocolate shake to go. I don't know if a trip to Bulldog Burger Company is complete without getting a shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Be sure and check them out today. You'll be glad you did. Bulldog Burger Company, the place for people to go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Let's take a little time to talk about Arizona State. You know, when we scheduled this game many years ago, like, hey, I don't know. It's going to be a long trip. Will we have fan support? And we have some great Bulldogs out there in Arizona. We absolutely do. And many of them you know from the Twitter community. In addition to that, you know, we got some Bulldogs that like to travel, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime type deal. When are we in our lives ever going to have an opportunity to go watch our Mississippi State Bulldogs play in Tempe, Arizona, against Arizona State? I would suggest to you this may be the only opportunity. We've never played them before in football, so certainly we've never played out there. Guys, I'm in my 50s now. I can't sit around and say, well, I'll go the next time. There may not be a next time. And that's not me being a fatalist either. That's just kind of the reality of the situation, especially if the SEC goes to a 9-game schedule. And I continue to hear they don't have the votes to pull that off. But I wonder with this House settlement, if some people don't think, you know what, I'm willing to go to the 9-game schedule if we can get more money from ESPN, because we've got to find a way to offset some of this this House settlement money. You know, we got to find a way to get that done. We got to get that revenue bucket full. And so I think that may change some things. And it'll be the Power 5 mandate game that goes away. Now, I'll tell you guys this. I have loved these Power 5 mandate games. I love them because matchups you don't ordinarily see. And that's the thing that I think the casual fan doesn't understand. It's not the Eastern Kentucky game that goes away. It's the Arizona State game that goes away. You're going to continue to play that FCS game. You're going to play one a year. And so you need to understand, as the schedule rotation kind of gets settled and they work through this thing, that's the matchup that goes away. And then you would never play those teams unless you're in a bowl game. And so many of these bowl games, you know, are geographical, right? So the chances of us playing Arizona State in a bowl game, and it's not the playoffs, pretty slim. And so I'm looking forward to heading out there. I know some of you are making the trip as well. And, you know, you never know. If you're a Boneyard listener, you might get an opportunity to get the opportunity to, you know, to get some tickets. You know, you never know. Never, ever, ever, ever know. So let's check a couple things here about Arizona State. The first thing that I'll tell you, and I touched on this a little bit on Monday, I really like Kenny Dillingham's attitude. I think in a world full of coach speak, it's good to kind of see a coach that will kind of call it like it is. And he made some comments, you know, following practice of the day. He goes, you know, we hadn't done anything. We're walking around here like we've won the Super Bowl. We're still a nobody. That's an interesting comment, right? And then he says, hey, yesterday, for the better part of the practice, it was a 1-11 practice. And then the last six periods, we kind of picked it up. Now, they got better today, and we'll talk a little more about that later. But I do like Dillingham. I think that he is a guy that is probably going places. I know Arizona State would like to keep him. And listen, I get it's second year there. They flipped the roster. But it's intriguing to me. Like, you know, you can tell a lot about a team in many respects based on their coach. We talk about how teams take on the personality of their coach. If that's the case, I think Arizona State is going to be in pretty good shape. I think Dillingham's a winner. I really do. And it's pretty clear that the fans out there have embraced him. The students have embraced him. They had the second biggest student crowd of all time last weekend to play Wyoming. And he said, hey, we're gonna break the record. He goes, I gotta go enroll 12 kids myself, we're gonna break the record this week. So we are expecting a huge, huge crowd. So let's talk a little bit, you know, real quickly about the numbers from last weekend and just kind of some general observations from watching the game. And you look again, we only got one game to work with here. And we touched on some of this on Monday, but I kind of want to get a little bit deeper into this. You know, looking at team numbers. And, you know, 27 first downs against 8. To me, that speaks more about defense than it does offense. They had 2 defensive touchdowns in this ball game, and, of course, they had a pick that led to another score. And so they had some trouble last year forcing turnovers. They get a couple, and they get pay dirt on both of them. But and that's why Wyoming team is so interesting, too. I mean, they're built on the run, and they really struggle to run the football. And, again, I mean, how good is Wyoming supposed to be this year? You know what I'm saying? It's like, how do you see Wyoming? Do you guys spend a lot of time keeping up with that brand of Cowboys? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you guys see it. But I know in the past they've been a pretty solid mid-major. You know, I think most people probably say, you know what, hey, interesting, right? Interesting deal. But you're kind of looking, you know, at the Mountain West here. If we can, just briefly, humor me here just a little bit. But, yeah, this is a team that in many respects a lot of people thought, hey, you know, They have been really, really solid, and they've kind of put some things together to be, a great team within their league, right? I mean, I think that's what everybody kind of sees, right? As I'm typing. So let's take a quick look. It's a quick look, because you never know what everybody's going to look like until you get them on the field. Just ask Florida State. Remember last year, everybody's like, hey, they deserve to be in the playoff. And right now you're thinking, hey, they don't even deserve to be in the ACC, much less the playoff. So Wyoming was picked sixth in the preseason poll in the Mountain West. Sixth. Just behind Colorado State, who got absolutely obliterated by Texas. But Wyoming just slightly ahead of Utah State. And so you pick sixth in a 12-team league. Boise State's picked to win it. But, so middle of the pack in a pretty decent power, G5 conference. But they didn't show up. And give Arizona some credit for that. They ran for just 5 first downs, did Wyoming, and just 2 passing, had 1 of a penalty. So 8 first downs in a ballgame. Guys, you're not going to win at any level with 8 first downs in a ballgame. It doesn't work that way. And a team that kind of prides itself on running the football, they got 40 yards. To kind of put that in, that's the net. The initial gain was 86 as a team. And then they had 46 yards lost to net 40. Now, we didn't run the ball last weekend with great authority either. And so I'm curious to kind of see what this Bulldog offensive line can do against this Arizona State front. Going to be interesting. All right, passing. Wyoming, 78 yards passing. 10 of 20 with 2 picks, and they both came in the first quarter. Now, you don't expect a team that's kind of predicated on the run to be very prolific passing the football. And you didn't see Wyoming really stretch the field and test that secondary. And that's been one of the concerns about Arizona State kind of coming in this year, which is one of the reasons they hit the portal as hard as they did. And so they're going to see something completely different this week. And again, total offense for Wyoming was 118. Arizona State was 499. So nearly 500 yards of offense. And again, in many respects, this game was over before the half. And Arizona State ran a 4-minute drill and ended up missing a field goal late. And Dillingham really, really got upset about that. But you look at all this stuff. And again, you get 3 turnovers and ultimately, all those lead to scoring opportunities, and 2 of those by the defense. And so at 17 points doesn't make a huge change, but it's probably a different ball game, if it's a single-digit score going into the half. Because you get in the second half and you take a team that is primarily a running team, and you're like, hey, we got to go throw the football here. Arizona State punted just twice in the game with a net average of...
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
46. Wyoming got a lot of practice. 8 punts, 47 average. 1 of those inside the 20, and 3 of those 50-plus yards. Something to be said for the nighttime air out there. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we're not punting a whole lot. But if we are, maybe Nick Barmira can flip the field for us. But, it's rather interesting, right? And we look at the touchbacks, it's one of the things we always talk about, right? Because we have had some prolific returners recently, of course, with Tulu Griffin. no longer with us, but we still got some war daddies back there. But 9 kickoffs for Arizona State, 6 of those are touchbacks. So you're probably not going to get a ton of opportunities to return a kick, and hopefully they're not kicking off much anyway. But again, it kind of goes with the thin air there. And what, to put that in perspective, Wyoming kicked off twice. One of those is a touchback. And so 11 kicks from the tee, and 7 of them are touchbacks. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. You know, the kind of those yards, the game within the game. Punt returns for Wyoming, 1 for 6. I think Kevin Coleman can do better than that. But I also think Arizona State's going to be aware of Kevin Coleman. Do they punt to him? I guess we'll see. We talk about time of possession and what that matters. I mean, Arizona State dominated time of possession. And a lot of that, too, is because they could run the football. Wyoming couldn't. Wyoming just 3 of 13 on third down conversions. And then Arizona State is plus 50% here, 8 of 50. And so that's interesting to me, too. Now, the game obviously gets out of hand. You're just trying to get out of there if you're Arizona State. And you're trying to get out of there without a bunch of casualties, right? And so you start playing guys deeper in the depth chart. As the game permits. Wyoming has to kind of get out of their offense a little bit and try to play catch up. In that fourth quarter, everybody's just trying to get out of there without getting hurt. And so TOP, definitely in favor of ASU in this ballgame. Arizona State also missed a couple field goals. They were 2 for 4 in the ballgame, including that one right before the half. And so I start thinking about that sort of stuff. This is where I think Kyle Ferry can be a weapon for us. You know, last week wasn't on him. But I think if we talk about tight ball games, special teams matter. They matter. Very important aspect of it, if you ask me. Now, look at some individual stuff here. You know, we're going to spend some time talking about Sam Levitt, the former Michigan State signee, 14 of 22, 258 yards, and, of course, the longest 68. We talked about depth of target, not really good there. Also a couple sacks, but you got to think, too, you know, matching up a Power 5 team against a G5 team, you're not going to get a lot of pass rush. And again, that's kind of a criticism, I think, of last week. If we're being honest with ourselves, we should have gotten more pass rush against Eastern Kentucky. We played a lesser opponent than Arizona State did. Still got a couple sacks, but Levitt also goes down too. And it's interesting to hear Dillingham talk about, hey, he's from the Saban tree, and I go out there and there are, you know, 3 high safeties with a weak side overhang. That's the one thing you never see in that tree. And so that tells me Coleman Hutzler's kind of mixing up the looks a little bit, but I also think too, you're probably giving Arizona State something else to prepare for. Because let's be honest, we could have run base defense last week and beat Eastern Kentucky. I think we all see that. And so I think there's a little bit of a chess game. We've been preparing for this Arizona State team for a while. It's not like we put all of our effort into Eastern Kentucky and like all of a sudden we're going to do all this in a week's time. You know, we understand, our staff understands the significance of this ballgame. As I've said all summer, this is the most important game on the schedule. And I firmly believe that our staff sees it the same way. I don't think there's any question about it. Look at some defensive numbers here, too. Keyshawn Elliott's a guy had a big game for them last week. 7 tackles, 1 TFL, and then had an interception return for 18. That's pretty impressive, right? That'll get it done. Got to pay attention to him. One of my favorite names in college football right now is Kivion Thunderbird. Let's just go. I mean, there's no explanation needed. If your last name was Thunderbird, wouldn't you wear that like a badge of honor? It's amazing. But again, they played a lot of people, but and spread the tackle, the load out. Miles Rouser had 5 tackles, but outside of that, not much. You know, Elliott with 7, Rouser with 5. But as a team, they put together some TFLs. They had 3 sacks in the ball game too, and of course those turnovers leading to touchdowns. That dog will get it done, right? And what's interesting too, they did try 2 different kickers in the ball game. Ian Hershey, the main guy, he kicked in the first half, made the first two, missed the one right before the half, which was only a 38-yarder. And then they had Karsten Kiefer kick in the fourth quarter, and he misses a 43-yarder. So not exactly sure what to make of that. Parker Lewis and Ian Hershey also doing the kickoff stuff here. But, you know, we'll see how things go. But, you know, based on what I have seen, just to kind of give you a few things offensively to think about, these guys are – you're not going to get a lot of sacks in this ball game, and let me tell you why. Is they're scheming things up to protect the quarterback. Tons of bubbles, right? Remember we played Samford a few years ago, and everybody's like, I don't understand how we're not getting to the quarterback. They're getting the ball out quick. They're running a lot of bubble concepts. They're running some slot screen concepts. They're running a lot of zone read stuff. And so there's not going to be a lot of this, you know, five- and seven-step drop stuff. It's just not. They're going to line up a lot in the shotgun, give him a chance to kind of get the pre-snap read earlier. But they're going to try to get the ball out on the perimeter. And but they themselves have talked about, we want to come out and establish the run that kind of creates some one-on-one matchups out there on the perimeter. They want to rely on that bubble screen. And you saw it against Wyoming. And they will screen you to death. I think I counted five slip screens or jailbreak screens within the game, and a couple of those went for big yardage, one for a touchdown, one for that 68-yard catch and run from Tyson Davis. But they want to get the ball out quick. So, you know, I know what's going to happen. I know it as sure as I'm sitting here. We'll probably get a sack or two. And everybody's going to be like, I don't understand. You know, I don't think – what happens this week is going to say a lot about your ability to rush the passer. There are some teams that are going to just basically play fast break football and try to get that thing out of there early to negate the pass rush. They themselves admit that there is a size advantage between our roster and theirs. I'm eager to see it on the field. One of the things, too, they talked about they're very, very mindful of is the tempo. And Kevin Cullen made a comment yesterday I thought was rather interesting. He said the game was easier than practice. Man, I love hearing that. He said because in the game, you know, you got TV timeouts, you got stoppage of plays, you got reviews, you got all kind of stuff, and so you get a chance to kind of catch breath. And so we're kind of conditioned for this, and then all of a sudden you get there and it's like, hey, we run tempo in practice nonstop. We don't have these automatic breaks like this. And so the game, easier than the practice. Love, love, love hearing that. Now here's the thing too. How do you replicate that? If you're Arizona State, especially kind of running your scout team, because you're not going to have your number one offense out there trying to replicate Mississippi State's tempo. They're running their sets. They're running their schemes. It's a scout team that's going to be running tempo and trying to get those guys kind of wound up a little bit. And so this is a different brand of athlete with Mississippi State's first team offense versus the look and show that the Arizona State scout team is going to provide. And nothing against those guys. I'm not being critical. But it's so difficult to give a good look when you don't have equal personnel in that respect. Now, as far as first team versus first team, it's going to be comparable, right? But, yeah, they're not having Levitt out there running, pretending to be Blake Shapen. And so I just don't know, not knowing much about Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State and that sort of stuff. You don't see this very often. I just don't know if you can get a really good scout look. And we talk about this all the time, right? Even within the Southeastern Conference, it's one of those things that, you know, you get all wound up in all this, and it's like, even in this conference, you get so many people out there that are doing big things, and sometimes their offensive set is different. And then you've got to have your guys, your scout team, kind of prepare. But I don't think it's a situation where there's that big a variance between an SEC scout team and an SEC maybe second team. Right? Because many of those guys were competing for spots on the two deep. So I don't know how they replicate it. And how much time in practice can you really allocate to it? Because when you get it, you can't simulate it, the emotion of the game, right? It's one thing to do it in practice, but then all of a sudden you're in a game. The emotional investment in a game is completely different. Completely different. And so you're in practice and it's like, hey, everybody run and get lined up or whatever. What do you do when all of a sudden State rips off, say, a 25-yard gain and run tempo? You're running, trying to get back. You're looking at sidelines, trying to get a play. And as soon as you get lined up, they snap it again. And then all of a sudden, they go again. You know, those reps in practice don't go in the paper. And all of a sudden, you got a big crowd out there, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? And I don't care who you are, where you're from. You feel it, you hear it, you respond to it, even if you don't say anything. Because as you already have this fear of panic a little bit, and then your own crowd is panicking a little bit as well. And that's the thing where I think State's tempo can really be a difference in this ball game. You get a chance to go out there and score and get them on the ropes a little bit, and not give them a chance to substitute, make them, like if it's a third and one play, and that, you know, they bring in like a jumbo package or whatever, you know, short yardage defense, and then you get it, and then you immediately go and you realize that they don't have the personnel on the field to man you up. The next thing you know, you hit a little inside slant, right? And so I think that's where Jeff Lebby has a distinct advantage here. A distinct advantage. Now, we got to go up there and take care of the football. We laid on the turf three times against Arizona State. They're going to get one or two of them, and it could be a game-changing play. You know, this is a group that struggled last year to generate turnovers out in Tempe, but they've kind of got seen blood in the water, right? They see the difference that quick change makes when you go out there and you get a couple defensive touchdowns. And so that group's going to be hungry. So we got to take care of the football. I think Blake will. We got to keep him standing upright, and we do a pretty good job protecting the quarterback. But I think it's important for everybody to understand this is going to be, from an intensity standpoint, is going to be comparable to an SEC game. It's a very good warm-up in that respect for Mississippi State. It truly is. Now, many of our guys are not going to be the least bit intimidated by the environment because of some of the environments that we played in here in the Southeastern Conference. But this is a really nice dress rehearsal for going on the road in the league, especially the effort that they're making to ensure that it's a near-capacity crowd or greater, right? So we're going to learn a lot about communication. We're going to learn a lot about our team, kind of how on diversity. And that's one thing Kenny Dillingham talked about is he would have liked to have seen his team face a little more adversity last week. Of course, you want to win the game comfortably. But he goes, I don't know what we're going to do when we get punched in the face. What do we do when we get some adversity? He goes, once we do that, we'll know what kind of team we have. And I think we're going to find out a lot about Mississippi State this weekend as well. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. A lot of times, maybe you don't realize you need a friend in the mortgage industry. That's one of the great things about, you know, moving back to Mississippi, right? You know, I got a yard guy. I got a pool guy. You know, I got an insurance guy. Got a mortgage guy. Got a banker guy. You know, you need to let Blair Chandler be your mortgage guy. 23 years of experience in the industry. Top 1% close ratio back-to-back-to-back years. If you want to take a lot of stress and anxiety out of the mortgage process, and it can be very daunting, stick with a winner like Blair Chandler. His phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair. You can call or text today. Doesn't go through a call center, receptionist, anything like that. You're getting directly to Blair. And you'll get that same level of personal service throughout the process. He'll be your advocate with underwriting. So whether you're looking to buy a home for the first time or maybe even the second time, perhaps you need a refi. I don't know your needs, but I know this. Blair Chandler can devise a plan that gives you the best chance to be approved and get to the closing table. Thus the name closewithblair.com. Be sure and visit the website or text him directly. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. So you'll be joining a pretty distinguished crew when you utilize Blair for your mortgage needs. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. And Blair's site about Bulldog Bash. psyched, to say the least. Matter of fact, Blair messaged me, and he goes, "Hey, is this real?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Wow, that's pretty cool." It is. So we're going to celebrate the organizers of Bulldog Bash that have been able to pull this thing off. Something super cool coming to Starkville. A legendary performer out of the Dirty South is Ludacris. So here are my top 10 Ludacris songs. Now, you may disagree, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to be too proud to suggest that maybe perhaps I have missed something a little bit later in the catalog. It's not like this is a Motley Crue list, right? I'm not going to sit here now like I'm an expert on the Ludacris catalog. But I am going to share with you the songs that I like the best. How about that? Number 10. Great song. Kind of really stirred up some trends in popular culture, too. It's the track Area Codes. Like he says, "I'm not just 404. I'm sure he's not. You know, many of us back in the day were all 601s, and the next thing you know, they added a 662 and then the 228, and we could add those area codes to our list. Goes, man, we got some 318s, got some 337s, got some 225s, some 504s, some 615s, some 901s, you know. And so it's a good track. It's a fun track. Some of you may get your feelings hurt. You shouldn't. Number 9, collaboration. Let me check that. I think it's Cardi B. Is it Cardi B? I think it is. No, it's Nicki Minaj. My mistake. A little bit earlier. But it's My Chick Bad. And some of you can relate. It's true. Some of them are bad for other reasons. But it's another fun song. That's really what Ludacris music is about. It's really fun stuff, right? And one of the things I love about the Luda catalog is the tracks are so great. Like, and they're all so different. There's a lot of people out there to put cool tracks together, but I think Ludacris, in many respects, outside of maybe Manny Fresh, I think Ludacris was putting together some tracks that were very unique. It's one of them. Number 8, it's Moneymaker, featuring Pharrell Williams. Great song. Absolutely love it. Number 7, I remember, like, when this song came out, it was everywhere. It was at sporting events. You go watch a high school football game, they play it. You go to a high school basketball game, a college basketball game. It was always, always ever present. It's number one spot. That's what we're coming for. The number one spot. Great track. Very inspirational. Very happy song. The next one, not so much. Number 6. Some days you might convince me this is my favorite Ludacris song. It's Get Back. Get Back, homie. You don't know me like that. A lot of times I feel that way. I just don't speak that way, right? I mean, you don't know me like that. It's true. Kind of like the whole thing about addressing people common, you know? I mean, come on. You don't know me like that. Don't feel comfortable. And I love the orchestra hits in this. That's one thing. Again, the tracks, man. Like, this is a great one here. Like, you hear that escalating orchestra hit all the way through it. It's great, great keyboard work. Number 5, Southern Hospitality. It seemed like this song, too. I mean, it seemed like the before we had the SEC Network, I guess. You know, when we did the SEC stuff, that they play a lot of Southern Hospitality. Makes a lot of sense. I can appreciate Ludacris, too, as a sports fan, too. He's not just a rap guy and an actor. He's a guy that loves sports. Number 4, we got to be careful how we announce this one because we try to keep this a family show. But it's Move. You know what? Get out the way. If you, what's it, Steve Inman? Do you guys follow him on Twitter? I don't, but he pops up on the reels every now and again. You know, he does like this real crime stuff and like, you know, people out there being stupid. And then he's, "Oh, we got the Ludacris cam," and they play the song. Like somebody's getting slapped. Somebody gets out of their car, creates a scene, and then the other driver like smacks him or something. Not that I'm endorsing violence or anything, but I think the Ludacam has kind of made a comeback in the days of social media. Number 3, I absolutely love this. I love the horns on this one. I absolutely love it. I mean, there's some songs, like you put them on and you just can't help but kind of move to it. Like you just kind of find yourself kind of subconsciously just like moving to the beat. This is one of those ones for me. It's roll out. Absolutely love it, man. It's great. Like, and the way the track is set to, like, you know, there's some songs you can say, yeah, they probably wrote the lyrics before they wrote the song, or they came up with the track. To me, I think this is one, the track was absolutely first. Absolutely first. I think it's probably the more organic writing process. They came up with this great track, and then Luda dropped a great verse on it. Absolutely love it. Roll out. Number two, another song, song of empowerment in many respects. It's Stand Up. And I love all the background noise on this, like vocally, like in the background and stuff. You can hear so much going on with this one. And again, a song that seemed like it was everywhere at sporting arenas. Stand Up. Number one, and you go back to the beginning for me, the video is incredible. Incredible. The scenery, top-notch. It's What's Your Fantasy? That goes back to the very beginning. I can't remember the name of it. It was on MTV, but there was another video channel like you could call and make requests. And this was one that was played regularly. It was great. It still is great. Doesn't get played as much, but pretty incredible track. And again, one of the things I think that makes Ludacris so appealing to people is when you see him do interviews and you see him do personal appearances and things like that, he doesn't seem like one of these guys that's bigger than life, which makes it easier to root for him, right? He does the Ludacares Foundation and things like that. There's a lot to Ludacris than just kind of getting out there and making money. I mean, of course, I hope that everybody's being successful in what they do in their chosen vocation. But to me, Ludacris just seems a lot more down to earth than a lot of his contemporaries. He seems like a really fun guy. And I am jacked that he is going to be here for Bulldog Bash. And of course, I won't be because I will be covering a football game. But those of you that can't make the trip, I hope you guys have a great time downtown. A lot of people have said, Steve, why is Bulldog Bash on an away game weekend? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, I'm told the city really doesn't have the infrastructure to kind of pull two major events off on different sides of the city, even though I know downtown is not too far from campus. You can't begin to imagine the security needed to pull that thing off. In addition to that, it gives the taxpayers of Oktibbeha County a bonus weekend, right? So let's say you got seven home games. Now all of a sudden we got a road game, but it's a big ticket weekend even without the home game. Makes a lot of sense. You're going to come here, you're going to eat, you're going to get a hotel room, you're going to buy some adult beverages. And so it'll be packed in Starkville, even though the team is on the road. And so, again, you've got the infrastructure issue, but also, too, there's a revenue issue. Because, like, if you do Bulldog Bash, you know, it's going to be packed anyway, right? And if you have a ball game, it's going to be packed anyway. And so, yeah, it would probably be one of those deals where you know, you might have an increase in traffic too, but, you know, you're going to have a shortage of hotel rooms. Right? We can't rent the same room twice in the same night. But you know what? If you're not competing with a football game, you've got a lot more inventory to work with. And it gives those hotels, another big weekend in our restaurants. At the end of the day, it is a great thing for the economy of Starkville. And if you love Starkville, you can kind of get that aspect of it. And I do, right? My hope is that we'll have some Ludacris fans. Maybe we'll get Luda to come float. I'll just give it to him for free, right? Hey, we'll comp him. We'll reach out to his publicist and say, hey, when he's in town, we'll even close the place down. You guys come float free. Put his picture up on our wall of fame. But so that's kind of the thinking behind that. A lot of people complain. It's like, hey, I want to go to Bulldog Bash and go to the game. I completely get it. But the way that Bulldog Bash has kind of grown in recent years, not to mention the fact that you know, the economy in this country hadn't been the best, you know, so anytime that we get a chance to have a big crowd in Starkville to fill up the hotels and to keep the registers ringing at restaurants, that's a great thing. Not to mention, you know, you can go by, you know, Campus Bookmart and places like that and, you know, enjoy Starkville when it's not a game day weekend. So that's kind of the thinking behind it. And so I know a lot of people have complained about that. In the beginning, I was kind of one of them because I was like, hey, I can't go to the bash and go cover a ball game. But now it kind of makes good sense to me. You know, it does. It makes good sense. It makes good economic sense. And not to mention, too, it makes it easier on the concert goer not to have to compete against the football game goers as well. And so I know a lot of people are going to be packing town. You guys have a great time. Maybe somebody get me a ludicrous shirt. I'm an XL most of the time. Still broad-shouldered, even though I've dropped some weight. But listen, you guys have a blast at the show. And we'll be out covering the football game. We'll do our best to take care of you. And you guys can enjoy that. And one of the things before we get out of here, before we move on from this topic, the students that stay after Bulldog Bash and clean up downtown, you guys are amazing. There have been times like the Saturday after Bulldog Bash, back when we did it, you know, ballgame weekends. You leave Bulldog Bash and you think, oh my gosh, what a mess this is. And I'd come back for breakfast that Saturday morning and everything is gone. And it's, I mean, the city looks amazing. And that's not the city. That's the students at Mississippi State. That's the people that are a part of the organization of the event, taking some responsibility for the event, taking some pride in Starkville. So I want to make sure you guys understand, I want to make sure that you know that I love you, and I want other people that maybe are unaware of your efforts to be able to love you too. So again, thank you guys so much, you guys and girls, for all you do for Mississippi State and for the greater Starkville area. Thank you very, very much. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart's been around forever and a day, and I hope they continue to stay around. And there's no reason they shouldn't. They're an institution. When you come to Starkville, there's no better place to look for Mississippi State merchandise than Campus Bookmart. Go in there, see their smiling faces. You might even get a hug. I get one every time I go. I don't think it's preferential treatment. I think everybody probably gets a free hug. You know, I think that. Be careful. Maybe ask before you lean in. But all that understood, Miss Kathy Brown does such an amazing job outfitting that place with the latest in Mississippi State merchandise, whether it be apparel, novelty items, knickknacks, anything that you may need to outfit your fan cave, or maybe give a gift to somebody where you've got, you know, a diploma frame, or perhaps a wedding gift, a housewarming gift. There are so many things that you can peruse there and kind of, you know, shop to your heart's content. If you can't make the town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's talk a little bit about, you know, kind of where everybody's head is at, right? So I made a post over on the Arizona State board. Our people, the Sun Devil Source, doing a great job covering Arizona State. I love to work in collaboration with our network partners. And one of the things that I try to do when we play somebody is I go over there and just kind of start a thread and say, hey, do you guys have any questions about Mississippi State? And, you know, try to be all folksy and honest, man, because I always feel like, hey, we're all representatives of Mississippi State. All of us are. And I can't count the times like, you know, years past, maybe I've gone out and had to complain and maybe cause a scene, and I'll look down to make sure I'm not wearing a Mississippi State shirt because I don't want to make State look bad. I don't mind making Rat look bad. You know, you see her at a concert shirt, so that guy's probably got a bad attitude anyway. And perhaps I do. But we are all representatives of Mississippi State. And so when we go out and we're in state gear and we're talking about Mississippi State, I think it's a responsibility that we have to the university and to each other to go out there and kind of conduct ourselves in a very classy manner. And there are some times when it doesn't call for that. But nevertheless, one over there, I've had a great conversation kind of engaging with the Arizona State fans and learned a little bit about their team. And, of course, I'm a Jim Blossoms fan, too. And you may know that the Jim Blossoms are from Tempe, Arizona. And while I'm out there, I'm going to go do some stops, go pay my respects to Doug Hopkins, who was a musical genius. So, and I want to get some good tacos, too. I mean, they're real kind, right? I'm not going to Taco Bell or Del Taco or anything like that. I want the authentic, real McCoy. You know, I'm a bit of a taco connoisseur, but the fans out there, you can tell they're kind of cautiously optimistic. There are a few, I mean, it's going to be like that. There's a few, oh, we're going to kill them, you know. And other fans are like, hey, I'm a little worried about the game. I think they have a pretty good idea kind of who they are. And I don't know if anybody really knows for sure who Mississippi State or Arizona State is just yet. I know that Arizona State has gone through some difficult seasons, and of course you've had all these issues, you know, with Herm Edwards and then NCAA stuff during COVID. And so they're a fan base that's ready to win. And they're hoping it's this year. And, of course, they have not won a game against an SEC opponent. And so that would be, you know, a big step for them. Even though we weren't great last year, we were better than them, at least from a record standpoint. As bad as we were offensively, we still posted a better record than they did. Now, they flipped their roster just like we did, but probably a little more on their side. But hearing the fans talk again, it's, you know, again, there's some out there that are going to be, you know, on opposite ends of the lunatic fringe, right? We've got them too. There are some people, like, it doesn't matter. We could line up and play Wesley College. It's been defunct now for, what, 20 years. And some of our fans would expect us to lose a game. And there are other people out there, it's like, hey, I think we're going to go win the SEC this year. I mean, come on. And most of us kind of fall somewhere in the middle. And so I kind of get the sense in many respects that the Arizona State fans see this game much like our fans do, the moderate fans anyway. And I think, again, as I told you guys earlier in the show, I think it's going to be an absolute war. Now, listening to their players talk, honestly, I think their players are, and not all of them, but, you know, Laterris Welch is one. You know, there's a lot of those guys out there. They seem like the game has already been played, and that they won. We just hadn't got there yet. And I think there is a confidence level with them, but I think number one would be encouraging if you're an Arizona State fan, but also a little bit concerning. Now, Welch, of course, former LSU player, came to Mississippi State and knows all about the cowbells. He won't have to deal with that this week, but I just sensed in their conversations, in their post-practice interviews, that some of them, not all of them, some of them, I think, are kind of taking us lightly. That's my take. Now, I may be completely wrong, but I think some of those guys are thinking, hey, you know what? Hey, we've never beat an SEC team before. It's going to happen this weekend. And, you know, I believe in the power of positive thinking. But in some respects, that kind of becomes bulletin board material, and I think that's probably not what Kenny Dillingham wants. I hate to speak for him, but I don't think that's the case. Now, when Dillingham spoke after Tuesday's practice, he absolutely blasted them. I touched on that a little bit earlier. He blasted them. It was brutal. And he did give them credit for kind of fixing it late in practice and kind of, okay, we're woke up now. And a lot of that's what happens. When you have a team, and there's not a ton of returnees from last year. There are some. But when you have a team that hadn't had a lot of success, and it's like, hey, we've worked so hard, we've balled in, we've done everything the coaches have asked us to do, and you go out there and you beat up a pretty good Wyoming team, and now everybody's telling you how great you are, that can be a blessing and a curse. Because a lot of people don't know how to handle success, especially people that hadn't had a lot of success. And one of the things that I have learned about life is, like, I never feel like I've arrived. And I've worked with some people in the past. It's like, hey, they get to a comfortable standard of living. They just kind of want to maintain that. My attitude is this: if 100,000 is good, then 200,000 must be great, and 300,000 must be amazing. Right? That's the way that I kind of live. It's like, oh, we wrote two stories today. I could have written another one. Try to find one. Right? I mean, you're always trying to get to the next level. And there are other people out there, it's like, hey, you know, we got some in our fan base. Man, as long as we go to a bowl game and win the Egg Bowl every couple of years, you know, I'm good. Guys, I want better for us than that. And I think Jeff Lebby is a guy who has won big everywhere he's been. He's probably a guy that didn't bought into that. And I don't think Kenny Dillingham is either. Now, he did say after today's practice that it was one of their better days of work. They'll lighten things up and kind of get their legs under them a little bit on Thursday and Friday, you know, because there's a lot of tempo, you know, right? And so the guys were saying Tuesday how the Arizona State players that were made available to the media, many of them talked about how they were a little bit banged up and sore. You know, it's a different thing, you know, playing against an opponent that's trying to hurt you, right? And so they were a little bit lackadaisical. They admitted themselves on Tuesday. And, again, it looks like Kenny Dillingham feels like today was a much better day. And then they'll do their, you know, they'll probably do shelves tomorrow and then walk through on Friday, and then we'll be there to play ball. Now, on the opposite side of this thing, the Mississippi State thing, and maybe it's because our media relations people, maybe, I'm not being critical of anybody. Please understand, I'm not being critical of anybody. Our media relations folks do a really good job kind of preparing these guys to meet with the media and say, hey, listen, here's kind of the talking point or whatever. You know, we don't want somebody to ask a player about another player's injury status and things like that. And there are a lot of things, too, that come up, and there'll be some talking points that are kind of given to them, right? But all that said, I thought all week when we hear from players, it's like, you know, Arizona State is a better team than they were last year. They're a better team. We're going to have to go out there and bring our best effort. We're going to have to play better than we played last week to beat these guys. And that's kind of to a man what was said. And one of the things that I have learned about life is the more something is repeated, the more likely you are to believe it, even if it's totally untrue. I mean, how do you think all those people out there lived, you know, with flat earthers, right? Well, somebody told them that. Well, it kind of made sense of what they could see. They couldn't see beyond the horizon. Oh, it's got to be flat. And there's still people today that believe that, even though there are aerial photos of Earth from space that show that it is round. But I think Mississippi State, you know, you start thinking, hey, we're going to have to bring our best effort. We cannot take these guys lightly. I think that is a belief within the team. And that's kind of in contrast to kind of some of the things you hear on the Arizona State side. And again, I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just making an observation. It's like, man, it's going to be a blessing. They ask, hey, what would it mean to get a win on Saturday? Well, it's a blessing. Like the game's already been played. And here's the thing that I think is interesting, too. It's just about every player has been asked by the media, hey, you guys have never beaten an SEC opponent. What would that mean? Kind of like this whole thing about, hey, we got to bring our best effort. Well, if that's what you're hearing, and even Kenny Dillingham says, yes, we've talked about that. We've talked about that. And so then you start thinking, well, man, we've had some great teams here before. We've only played the SEC a handful of times. Maybe we're not supposed to win this game. And when you have a team that has a fragile psyche, I think that's important. And you start planting those seeds. Now, one thing that I've learned about recovery, and it's really equates to life too. There are those that think they're going to make it, those that think they're not. And the funny thing is, they're both right. And so I believe, again, in the power of positive thinking. But I also think there has to be a healthy level of respect for the encounter that's about to take place. And so if I had to kind of call, like, again, just my opinion, if I had to kind of call just on the language being used on both teams, I think Mississippi State is probably approaching this with a better mindset. And of course, things can change between now and Saturday. But I get the sense this is a little more of a business deal for Mississippi State. Now, coordinators spoke today at Arizona State, and I thought it was, and you can read these things in their entirety, but I'm going to read you a couple of excerpts. I enjoy doing this opponent reconnaissance stuff. I do. I learn a lot for the show, but it also kind of prepares me for the game. And, of course, we transcribe all this stuff because I figure if I learn it and see it, then you need to learn and see it. And, again, we make this stuff free over at jeanspage.com. The Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. And so I encourage you to go read that if you want to learn a little bit more about Arizona State. I think that's one of the things, too, that most people need to understand is that this ball game, in many respects, is between two teams that are pretty much equal. And I don't know that Arizona State's coaching staff truly believes that, but they have kind of praised us a little more, and they're not idiots, right? They're not stupid. But, yeah, they're going to talk about that. And so here is a comment from Kenny Dillingham from today, post-practice. And, again, this continues to be – and listen, I don't blame the media for asking. It's a factual situation. Hey, you guys have never beaten an SEC team. What's it going to take? What's it going to feel like? What would it mean? These guys and ladies, just doing their job. But when you're constantly reminded of it, it eventually becomes a little bit of an irritation. And so Dillingham was asked, what would it mean to earn the first SEC win in program history? Dillingham, it would be awesome. To say it wouldn't be awesome is a lie. To say I haven't talked about that is a lie. We're not worried about that. It doesn't change our process. Our process should be to be the very best we can be all the time. But is there an added benefit to be the first team in history to win a game like that? Isn't that a benefit that Mississippi State circled this game before the season and said we're going to win? You have to. You have to look at us on the schedule going into the season and say we're going to win this game. Perfect. We need this one. We're going to win it. Is there an added benefit that those things are happening this week? Oh, yeah. That's why we need everybody to come out to the game. We need fans to come out to the game. We need it to be sold out. We need it to be loud on the first third down, the first kickoff. We need them to fill the atmosphere here, especially with their first away game of the season with a new head coach. The fans are vital, and they're a competitive advantage. And those are the comments that he closed with. But, yeah, I'm sure everybody at Arizona State, is like, hey, nobody respects us. And that's a card that you can play, especially in a game like this. It's like, hey, the big bad SEC is coming in here, and we've never beat an SEC team. And they're going to say, well, everybody expects us to lose. Now, Vegas doesn't expect them to lose. They got them favored by 6.5. I think the line started at 3.5 and has risen ever since. I'm not buying it. I'm picking State to win. And so it's kind of hard to go out there and play the poor old us card when you're favored. But, Dillingham's talking to his team. Do the media here. Interesting note too, Marcus Arroyo is the offensive coordinator there. Seems to be a very impressive guy. And, it's interesting. To just kind of talk a little about the things that they see and things that they do. And he was asked about the fact that State, Dillingham said earlier this week that, hey, State doing that, three high safety with the weak side overhang was a different look. And so Arroyo was asked about that, right? Kind of how do you prepare when they showed something last week you didn't expect? And so Arroyo says, well, you never know what that's about. You never know if it's a change-up package because of injuries or because of something you thought you would go into because of his background or something that they've come into this may be harder on an offense, right? Like maybe we saw some things that were opponent-specific to Eastern Kentucky. Back to Arroyo's comments, you never know when guys go back and study a little bit and maybe they want to be something else. And she's talking about self-scout. You go self-scout yourself and say, hey, let's change this up a little bit, give them a different look. Arroyo says, all I can do is check the tape and have a little bit of a background and try to do some advance on what Coleman Hutzler was based on and what I saw versus Eastern Kentucky and try to put a package together. After just one game, it's kind of hard. We'll have to make a lot of on-the-field adjustments. You never know how much is left in the bag, but I'm sure there is plenty. And one thing that's interesting, too, I thought that Brian Ward, the defensive coordinator from Arizona State, I thought he was maybe not as demonstrative, in his body language when he talked, but he seems to be a very kind of a cerebral guy, right? A guy that's maybe, really a game plan, schematic type guy. I don't see him as this big rah-rah, run out on the field and, make a big scene type guy. But he was specifically asked a few questions about Mississippi State, but I'm going to only get into one with you. And it was really about, about making the right call when State goes tempo. And we kind of touched on this earlier about, hey, the emotion of the game, because these plays matter, right? You don't get lined up in practice, they pull you and let somebody else get in your spot for a couple reps. You don't line up right here, you end up on SportsCenter. It's a much different dynamic. And again, the crowd's booing and, everybody's trying to like, hey, let's go. And so he talked a little bit about substitutions, how it's so difficult to sub against a team that has tempo. But I thought this was one of the more comments that probably needed your attention. About getting the correct calls when State runs tempo. Because you don't have a lot of time. And you don't have the benefit of the pre-snap read. Like if they're on the ball, everybody's rushing, and we're on the ball, number one, you got to go get on sides for one. You got to get lined up. Then by the time you get your call, the ball is snapped. So you can only begin to imagine how taxing that is on a defense. And Ward says this, it's hard. It's really difficult. Everything starts with alignment in every defense. Then you go with the disguises. There are some little wrinkles and tweaks that we could show. They're in tempo, so they can get our signals. They can call the right play. The guy can give the runner pass call at a quarterback. We already know all of that. So that's where the chess match lies. How can we disguise and how can we hide our signals and shows on and off the field? It's going to be a real challenge. I'm not sleeping much this week. And I really think that may be the difference in the ballgame. Can Arizona State slow down State's tempo? Because if you go out there and you get misaligned with a senior quarterback like Blake Shapen, he's going to see the coverage he wants, and he's going to make the adjustment, and he's going to call the right play. And one of the things that Ward kind of mentioned, too, is he was a guy that's somewhat familiar with these schemes, and he goes, hey, I can tell you that there's a lot of this that goes on, and what they're really hoping is they want to get to 100 plays on offense and gas you out so you get in the fourth quarter and you can't defend them. And I think that's something to really watch. Which team can handle the fourth quarter the best? I think this game probably goes down to the fourth quarter. I think State's going to be able to score. I think we'll, with much more proficiency than Wyoming did, obviously. And again, I think that secondary hasn't really been tested yet. And they haven't seen what we're going to do yet. They saw a few things against Eastern Kentucky. But I think this is going to be a game that Mississippi State wins or loses based on how we play defense. That's not some hot take. We've talked about that all summer, is that, you know, this team is only going to be as good as its defense. And I think it was encouraging what we saw last week. But this Arizona State team is going to line up and try to establish the run. I think they're going to try to shorten the game. They want to keep us on the sidelines. They want to wear us down and not have us dictate tempo to them. So that we get in the fourth quarter that maybe they're the ones delivering the big blow. And I think it's so important for State to get into the fourth quarter with a lead. If you have a lead in the fourth quarter, especially let's say you're up 10 in the fourth quarter, it changes that dynamic completely, right? They're not going to be able to just line up and run the football. You're going to have to throw the football some, and you're going to put the game into a young quarterback's hands that's never had to do it before in a game like this. And so we'll talk about the weekend more on Friday, which will actually be Thursday night show, and it'll be up for you Friday morning. But I expect State to win this ball game, but I do think it'll be a close one. And I think one of the most important things for State is to get off to a good start. I think if State wins the first quarter and you survive that crowd, you put some doubt in the crowd, and you put some doubt in the team. Because, again, teams with fragile psyches, they're very impressionable, right? And so it's like, hey, if something good happens, hey, we're good. Something bad happens, maybe we're not so good. And so I think it's important for State probably, you know, come out, go lightning tempo early and try to get a lead and then make them try to match you. And next thing you know, if you can get a stop and maybe get them off schedule and get an early lead, maybe you're up 10, 14 points early, put some doubt in their minds, put some confidence on your sideline, and it also kind of quiets the crowd a little bit, at least till halftime, right? But that's how I see it playing out. I think State comes out. We got to avoid the early turnover. We got to go out there and hang on to the football. And we got to go out there and get some points on the board early, because if you let these guys hang around, then all of a sudden they start believing, and then the crowd starts believing, and it could be a difficult night for Mississippi State if we do that. The quicker State can get some separation in this game, if they can, I think really bodes well for State's prospects of winning. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google is still your friend. It's not as great as it used to be. It's not the best friend, but it's still a friend. But Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will kind of auto-populate for you, and you can peruse the pictures of all the fine amenities that are available to you and your guest when you choose to stay at the Golden Triangle's best place to stay, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You got the full-service kitchen. You got that great, amazing back porch area. You got the fire pit. You got the wet bar. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. And what's better than like being able to kind of have like a home away from home in many respects? You know, a lot of times you go get a hotel room or whatever, and you can't cook anything. You're forced to kind of eat out. How cool is it? Hey, we're going to be here for a few days, a couple nights. Let's go stock the fridge. Let's go get some snacks. We'll put some steaks out. We'll have a great time. A lot of convenience with that, of course. And also that wet bar, if you want to get an adult beverage, you can partake in that. It's a great place to stay. It is 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. If you're coming for a ball game weekend, or perhaps you got a work crew coming to town, and you like to have everybody under one roof rather than have everybody spread all over the county, so tough at times to get hotel rooms. Everybody can have some communal areas to work and congregate and meet. And then when you're done working for the day, you can go out back and watch the sunset on that back porch area, or get around that fire and have a meaningful conversation. Just kind of talk about life. Now, when you Google that, you're going to have some booking options that pop up. You're going to have Airbnb, you're going to have VRBO. And you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. And use promo code BSR10, BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. Easy to remember. BSR10. So again, rather than go out there and get a bunch of hotel rooms and have people kind of interloping in your conversations when you go down to the lounge and that sort of stuff, you can kind of have some privacy and just kind of keep it to your group, whether it be a guy's weekend, a girl's weekend, or a family weekend. It's a great place to stay, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, so let's talk some baseball stuff here. Before we get out of here, we'll do a little housekeeping stuff. Mississippi State Fall Baseball will begin September the 23rd. Now, the team is already in kind of some four-man workout type stuff. They're already working, but the full practice sessions begin on the 23rd. Now, they have not released a schedule of scrimmages. I know many of you like to come get a new look at the Dogs. You're going to be glad you did. A lot of names you need to know. I'm told that early workouts are going really well. We like our group, and so be mindful of that as we get deeper into the fall. We'll have some announcements about when you can come. I know many of you want to come, especially for those Saturday or Sunday games during football season. It's a great thing. Now, October the 12th, Bulldogs football team is going to be playing in Georgia. If you're not going to the game, or you live in the greater Birmingham area, or you're willing to travel, Diamond Dogs are going to be playing UAB at UAB. And there's some reports out there that the game may take place in another location, and that may happen, but that has not been finalized. I know that's what was reported, but I double-checked on this. That's not final yet. But we do know that we're going to be playing in Birmingham. At this point, it's scheduled to be at UAB. But there have been some discussions about playing it at an alternate site. So as we get closer, and that's just over, 5 weeks away, you'll have an opportunity to go by and take a look. Bulldogs taking the show on the road. Now, as it stands today, there is not a scrimmage against another team scheduled for Mississippi State. Now, that may change. I don't know that I expect it to change, because a lot of times we just kind of want to play against ourselves. And, the games are real competitive, and the rules are a little bit different. And not the rules of baseball, but everybody only gets like one inning a pitch and things like that. And so it may be a different dynamic for us. We got to do what's best for us. Big year for us. Big year for Chris Simonis. We kind of got to build on last year. You won 40 games. That's nothing to throw a parade or a party about, but it's a step in the right direction. We have to kind of build upon that. I think that's an important aspect of this. We all know it. We got to get back to hosting. We got to get back to competing for top eight national seeds. And I think we have the ability to do that this year. I think we will be in the hosting discussion. We were last year, and everybody involved with state baseball believes that we should have hosted. Of course, we've got a few fans out there that disagree. Same people that have projected a coaching change 2 years in a row. They were wrong about that, and so I don't know why we should believe them about this. But nevertheless, we all agree, no matter your feelings about the program, we need to be back in the hosting discussion. Last year we were kind of like in discussion for that last spot. We need to kind of remove all doubt this year. We don't need to leave it in the hands of the committee. And I think some of the things that we're doing scheduling-wise I can't really talk about yet are going to help us when it comes to RPI. And like last year, everybody's like, hey, KPI is going to be a tool. We did really well in KPI. But at the end of the day, we kind of did ourselves in, as you guys know. We had those four quad four losses. You don't lose those ball games. You're hosting. There's nothing to discuss, right? So we had nobody to blame but ourselves, even though it's fun to kind of point fingers at the committee, even though I do think that there were some people working against us. You make it easy to work against you when you drop games to Central Arkansas, right? You do. We know this, right? So all that I understood, that's kind of where we are with that. Now, Devin Obi was the guy that was kind of mentioned in connection with State. He's a center fielder from Duke. Mississippi State has not been on him for a while, but I was informed last night he is expected to announce for Oregon State. So he'll join Ivar Arquette up there. That's a good move for them. And people say, but Steve, I don't understand. You know, just because somebody says this guy's a good fit doesn't mean that he is. Nothing against the kid. I don't know the kid. But I know that he hit sub 200 against ACC pitching. SEC pitching is better throughout the league than ACC pitching. Of course, you know, Wake Forest is always going to be good. It should be, right? And Clemson at times has been very good. Virginia with Brian O'Connor, they've been very good at times pitching as well. But it wasn't a great year for pitching in the ACC, and this guy hits sub 200 against conference pitching. What would he do in the SEC? Not to mention he can't make it to campus until December. So you navigate through the fall, and you think you've kind of got the roster figured out, and then lo and behold, to create a roster spot for Obi, you got to cut somebody that went with you through the fall and competed and maybe was second in a position. Is that the right thing to do? And, you know, I want the best opportunities and the best players we can possibly get. I think that's a chemistry nightmare. And you can say, you know what, Steve, the players will figure it out. You know, it's one, like if Ivar Arquette had transferred to Mississippi State and he was with you through the fall, you have the opportunity to kind of bond and figure it out. You're hanging out in the Cotton District and, you know, you're just having a good time. You're going to meals together. And so by the time January gets here, he's a teammate. But when you go and bleed and sweat and toll in the sun with a bunch of guys, and then you have somebody else show up in January, I don't know how that works chemistry-wise. And so I don't think the timing worked well, but also, too, I don't think this is a can't-miss guy. Some other people say, hey, well, he was the MVP of the ACC tournament, and that he was. But if you're expecting him to be an everyday player in the league with the best pitching in the country, you got to look at the strikeout ratio. You got to look at batting average against Power 5 pitching, and it simply wasn't good. Wish the kid the absolute best, but I understand, you know, why we didn't push for him. You know, and again, he may go up there and be the you know, player of the year for Oregon State. They're not in a conference now, but all that I understood, we wish him the best, but that's behind us now. That's no longer something that, you know, Mississippi State hadn't been recruiting him for a while anyway, but I know that was a name. I just want you to be prepared so when it makes the rounds on social media, you kind of understand kind of what I've seen from this. And then you're talking to other people in baseball too. You know, it's like, hey, Ivar Arquette's a difference maker, and everybody knows that. OB is not in the same class. And again, he may be a very solid player for the Beavers up there, but he's not Ivar Arquette. He's not. And not that the Duke was a bad team last year either. You know, and the kid got hot late, and there were some people that thought Duke should host. I didn't. But nevertheless, that's kind of where we are with that. A few other things I want to talk about before we get out of here. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com, and you can pre-order The Dude. It's going to be out in about 5 weeks, later than I wanted it to be. But as I told you guys on the show, we had to make some decisions because they were going to delay the limited editions, and it makes no sense. Those people bought the book first and they got the more expensive version, so I wasn't going to make those people wait. It was going to be 2 to 3 weeks after. So we worked out a deal to get everything delivered at once, and every book ordered through the website will be signed. Of course, all my sports titles are there. Limited quantities of Stark Villains and Alpha Dogs. And there is some discussion about doing the third and final book in that series, and we just kind of sell that as a trilogy. Yeah, we'll see. Probably do a fresh edit of Villains and Alpha Dogs if we decide to go that route. So that's a lot of work, too. You got to write a book and then go back and edit a couple more. But we may do that in holiday. So we'll see. We'll take the steps to kind of prepare for that. Probably the thinking right now is that we'll do a fresh edit of Villains and Alpha Dogs and then release it as an ebook. And then if we decide to do State Greats next year, which would be the third book in the trilogy, then we would do a short run and maybe sell those three books as a trilogy. Now, if you have Alpha Dogs and Villains, You'd Be Able to Buy Steak Great is a standalone book, right, to complete your own trilogy. But we're going to kind of package it up. And anyway, if that's the route we go. So be prepared for that. Also of note, too, one of the things that I'm kind of excited about, too, and maybe you guys feel like I do, is I really think men's basketball, Mississippi State, is going to be really good this year. And I think the women are going to be good, too. And, of course, the women, you know, down the stretch, things kind of fell apart for us. And I think we just got gassed. But when you look at what we've kind of put together roster-wise, I have no clue how the media is going to pick us. But I expect us to be in the top half of the league and on both sides. But if you are on the fence about getting season tickets to either of those sports, let me encourage you. I think especially on the men's side, I think we have the potential to have a very special year. I do think both teams go to the tournament this year. And I'm not even really sure. When you sit down and look at it, like kind of what everybody else has got, that's the thing about the transfer portal, right? Everybody's like, well, they went and got all these transfers. The chemistry in basketball is so incredibly important, right? And we've seen it. How many times in recent years have we had people that have maybe transferred in and just hadn't worked out? You know, maybe despite our best intentions. You know, I think Chris Jans and Sam Purcell are both great coaches. And again, I think it's going to be a big year. But I really excited about the men's side of things. And what's so interesting, too, like everybody knows about Josh Hubbard. And one of the things that I think is so incredibly impressive and important about Josh Hubbard, and it's got nothing to do with what he did on the court. The way that he handled this transfer portal stuff, because all you heard down the stretch, not from Mississippi State people, but other people, is like, oh, he's going to be in the portal, he's going to go to Kentucky, he's going to go to Tennessee, he's going to do that. Rather than put you guys through that anxiety, Josh pretty much got it all taken care of and made the announcement, not just to protect your feelings, right, which was part of it. And he said himself, I didn't want to put our fans through that. This is where I want to be. But also, too, Josh enabled Chris Jans to kind of go out and use him as a drawing card in the portal. It's like, hey, Hub is going to be back. One of the best shooters in the country. We want you to come join him, be a part of that. I really like the look of this roster. Of course, you know, I had a chance to sit down. We did basketball media here a few weeks back. And, you know, the talk and look of this team, you know, it's very positive. You know, there just appears to be a strong nucleus of players that have been together here for a while. And then you bring in some portal guys that already have relationships with some of those guys, like Riley Kugel. I mean, you know, he was a Bulldog commitment. You know, next thing you know, he flips to Florida. Now he's here. But I'm excited. And I think you guys should be as well. I think this is going to be a very good athletic year for Mississippi State. Now, we know kind of where we are in football. We know what our expectations are. And I still think Jeff Lebby will upset somebody. I think he'll pick up a signature win this year that maybe some people aren't anticipating. I still think we're probably 6-6. You know, we may need that signature win because a lot of times, too, you know, young teams and, you know, fresh coaching staffs, maybe you drive games you shouldn't. And that could happen this weekend, right? You say, but Steve, they're favored. It is, but you and I both know when the schedule came out, we were like, hey, we think we can go get that one. I still believe we will. But I think when you begin to think about, okay, if Jeff Lebby can get us to a bowl game this year, we didn't go last year, get us to a bowl game and be exciting on the field, and you know the early returns are good. We'll know a lot more about the team this weekend. And then you get into men's basketball. Let's say you get two tournament teams. Now, Chris Jans, of course, took us to the play-in game 2 years ago, took us to the tournament last year, and we don't have an NCAA tournament win, but we do have two NCAA tournament appearances. I think the maturation of this roster and really the implementation of the Chris Jans system, I think this year maybe we can get out of the first weekend, depending on the draw. But I do expect this team to be a team to be reckoned with. And on the women's side, too, again, I think there's just so many things that happened last year. You know, Jessica Carter in and out of the lineup. You know, we had some injuries, of course, but I think we're going to have more depth this year on the women's side. And I know many of you were disappointed that we didn't make the tournament. I was too. I really thought we would make the tournament on the women's side. I think this year you get both of those teams in, and then you get to baseball and softball. And again, I think the baseball team is going to – Baseball America's already got us, what, preseason 14? Nobody's even made the rounds yet. And so, yeah, I think the Bulldogs open the season in the top 25, and I think we stay there. I'm looking forward to that trip to Houston. And softball, what can you say about what Samantha Ricketts and the staff did last year? Yeah, and you got a lot of those pieces back this year. You know, and so it kind of looks like that 2023 season was really more of the anomaly. We didn't have a great year. And then Coach Ricketts and those guys bounced back this year. Those ladies did an amazing job. And love dealing with her when we have interactions with her. And, of course, soccer's off to a great start. You know, soccer made history last year. You know, and so we've had some historic moments in some of the Olympic sports in recent years. And I think we're going to have a lot to cheer about this year. And my hope is all of you that are traveling to Arizona State or that you live in that area and you're so excited that Bulldogs are coming to your neck of the woods that we give you something to feel proud about, that you go to the water cooler on Monday and said, ha, right? There's nothing better than that, right? But looking forward to getting out there and getting on the road. And again, reminder, I'm flying Friday. So the plan is, you know, tomorrow night I'll plan to go ahead and do the same thing again. And we'll have your Friday show up when you guys get up and get moving on Friday. So you'll probably listen to this show on Thursday, and you can listen to Friday on schedule. And then I'm flying back Sunday, and depending on how I feel when I get home after a day of travel, we'll see on your Monday Boneyard. But my whole thing with every bit of this, when everything that I think about, the experience of going out to Arizona State. I am so incredibly honored and appreciative that you guys trust us enough, Gene's page, to subscribe, and it enables us to have the finances to go. Guys, we have not missed a game as a staff since 1997. And that's a streak that we plan to keep intact. You know, I remember back in 16, Dave Murray went to Provo, Utah, and I went to Foxborough, Massachusetts. Dave still travels some with us. He's not going to Arizona State, but he is going to Texas with us. He's going to Knoxville with us. And so, we're going to have multiple reporters at each of these games, and we're going to do our best to give you guys really unprecedented coverage. And as I shared on the last show, too, sometimes it's frustrating. It really is. But, there are a lot of people out there try to sell you on, I can just cover a game on TV. And maybe you can. But, you can't ask a question at a press conference. You can't interview a player. You can't get the questions answered about a big call from the coach. You can't even watch a press conference, And so it's important to be there. And I'll never understand these folks that think, hey, just covering from home is the way to go. Sometimes I understand that's necessary. But I'm just grateful that I work at an organization that financially can allow me to go do these things to allow us to bring you really unprecedented coverage. And I believe, if memory serves me correct, we're only going to have three reporters in Tempe, and two of those are me and Justin Frommer. Ben from the Dispatch, I believe, is going too. So we're excited to kind of get out there and see it all. And I'm a big Jim Blossoms fan, as I guys told you, so I'm looking forward to kind of getting out and seeing those old haunts. And enjoy the city a little bit on Saturday, because, Friday's a travel day, Sunday's a travel day. So we got to get up Saturday and kind of get our sightseeing done before we head over to the ball game. And for those of you that are out there that live in Arizona, we look forward to kind of bringing the show on the road and being a part of it and bringing the Bulldogs to you. And so I don't know where the alumni tailgate is. We'll see if we can't find out, and I'll try to share that with you guys on the Friday show. But it would be great to meet some of our Arizona and kind of our West Coast dogs out there. I know many of you have been looking forward to this game for a long time once it was announced. And my hope is the Bulldogs can deliver a victory for all of us. It's so important to the complexity of our season. But certainly, you guys live there, right? And we live up here in the big maroon bubble. That's one thing Mike Nemeth and I talk about all the time. He said they used to have these discussions, with Scott Strickland when Mike was still working for the university. It's like, we're up here. We're kind of insulated from all that stuff. We don't have a lot of Ole Miss fans to come get in our face in Starkville. But, you folks that live in Biloxi and Madison, you kind of deal with it all the time. So we need to win those games for you, right? Not just for the university. We got to reward your loyalty and give you a little chance to poke your chest out and have some bragging rights. And so we'll get an opportunity to do that for our friends out in Arizona. Of course, we got two wins over the U of Arizona. And so I think it'd be a pretty cool thing for our Arizona Bulldogs if we could find a way to win this ball game. Then you say, hey, the Bulldogs came to Tucson and to Tempe and gave us something to cheer about. And that's a memory that we'll have forever. And when next time it's you've got some Wildcats or Sun Devil fans kind of talking a little trash and saying, all I know is this, is when my team, when my alma mater came to Arizona, we won those ball games. Yeah, that would be a really cool thing, and I hope that you guys get a chance to celebrate that. Hey, that's going to do it for today. We will see you guys again tomorrow night, early Friday morning. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.